Hi, this is Steve Webb, and I wanted to let you know about the most current episode of The Lifespring Show. That's episode number 196. On that show, I interviewed the guy that is sometimes known as the bumper sticker guy or the bumper sticker man. His real name is Dan Merchant, and he did a film called Lord, Save Us from Your Followers. And it's a film that I think every believer should see. As a matter of fact, it's one that Dan says it's a film that he tells atheists that they can feel safe to let their saved friends know about or something like that. Anyway, I want to let you know about it. It's really good. The film is fantastic, and the interview was really fascinating. So if you are so inclined, I would encourage you to go to Lifespring Media and click on the icon for the Lifespring Show and take a listen. And now on with the Lifespring Family Bible. Thanks. Hello, and welcome to the Lifespring Family Bible number 98. I'm Steve Webb, your host, and today we'll be reading Deuteronomy chapters 18 through 21. Let's begin. Deuteronomy chapter 18. The Levitical priests, indeed the entire tribe of Levi, will have no allotment or inheritance with Israel. They may eat the burnt offerings of the Lord and of his inheritance. They will have no inheritance in the midst of their fellow Israelites. The Lord alone is their inheritance, just as he had told them. This shall be the priest's fair allotment from the people who offer sacrifices, whether bull or sheep. They must give to the priest the shoulder, the jowls, and the stomach. You must give them the best of your grain, new wine, and olive oil, as well as the best of your wool when you shear your flocks. For the Lord your God has chosen them and their sons from all your tribes to stand and serve in his name permanently. Suppose a Levite comes by his own free will from one of your villages, from any part of Israel where he is living, to the place the Lord chooses and serves in the name of the Lord his God like his fellow Levites who stand there before the Lord. He must eat the same share they do, despite any profits he may gain from the sale of his family's inheritance. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, you must not learn the abhorrent practices of those nations. There must never be found among you anyone who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, anyone who practices divination, an omen reader, a soothsayer, a sorcerer, one who casts spells, one who conjures up spirits, a practitioner of the occult, or a necromancer. Whoever does these things is abhorrent to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God is about to drive them out from before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. Those nations that you are about to dispossess listen to omen readers and diviners, but the Lord your God has not given you permission to do such things. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. This accords with what happened at Horeb in the day of the assembly. You asked the Lord your God, "Please do not make us hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, or see this great fire anymore, lest we die." The Lord then said to me, "What they have said is good. I will raise up a prophet like you for them from among their fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them whatever I command. I will personally hold responsible anyone who then pays no attention to the words that prophet speaks in my name. But if any prophet presumes to speak anything in my name that I have not authorized him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet must die. Now if you say to yourselves, 'How can we tell a message that is not from the Lord?' Whenever a prophet speaks my name and the prediction is not fulfilled, then I have not spoken it. The prophet has presumed to speak it, so you need not fear him." Deuteronomy chapter 19. When the Lord your God destroys the nations whose land he is about to give you, and you dispossess them and settle in their cities and houses, you must set apart for yourselves three cities in the middle of your land that the Lord your God is giving you as a possession. You shall build a roadway and divide it into thirds, the whole extent of your land that the Lord your God is providing you as your inheritance. Anyone who kills another person should flee to the closest of these cities. Now this is the law pertaining to the one who flees there in order to live, if he has accidentally killed another without hating him at the time of the accident. Suppose he goes with someone else to the forest to cut wood and then uses the axe to cut the tree. The axe head flies loose from the handle and strikes his fellow worker so hard that he dies. The person responsible may then flee to one of these cities to save himself. Otherwise, the blood avenger will chase after the killer in the heat of his anger, eventually overtake him, and kill him, though this is not a capital case, since he did not hate him at the time of the accident. Therefore, I am commanding you to set apart for yourselves three cities. If the Lord your God enlarges your borders as he promised your ancestors and gives you all the land he pledged to them, and then you are careful to observe all these commandments I'm giving you today, namely to love the Lord your God and to always walk in his ways, then you must add three more cities to these three. You must not shed innocent blood in your land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, for that would make you guilty. However, suppose a person hates someone else and stalks him, attacks him, kills him, and then flees to one of these cities. The elders of his own city must send for him and remove him from there to deliver him over to the blood avenger to die. You must not pity him, but purge out the blood of the innocent from Israel so that it may go well with you. You must not encroach on your neighbor's property, which will have been defined in the inheritance you will obtain in the land the Lord your God is giving you. A single witness may not testify against another person for any trespass or sin that he commits. A matter may be legally established only on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If a false witness testifies against another person and accuses him of a crime, then both parties to the controversy must stand before the Lord, that is, before the priests and judges who will be in office in those days. The judges will thoroughly investigate the matter, and if the witness should prove to be false and to have given false testimony against the accused, you must do to him what he had intended to do to the accused. In this way you will purge evil from among you. The rest of the people will hear and become afraid to keep doing such evil among you. You must not show pity. The principle will be a life for a life, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, and a foot for a foot. Deuteronomy chapter 20. When you go to war against your enemies and see chariotry and troops who outnumber you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, is with you. As you move forward for battle, the priest will approach and say to the soldiers, "Listen, Israel, today you are moving forward to do battle with your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not fear and tremble or be terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you to fight on your behalf against your enemies to give you victory." Moreover, the officers are to say to the troops, "Who among you has built a new house and not dedicated it? May he go home, lest he die in the battle and someone else dedicate it. Or who among you has planted a vineyard and not benefited from it? He may go home, lest he die in battle and someone else benefit from it. Or who among you has become engaged to a woman but has not married her? He may go home, lest he die in battle and someone else marry her." In addition, the officers are to say to the troops, "Who among you is afraid and faint-hearted? He may go home so that he will not make his fellow soldier's heart as fearful as his own." Then when the officers have finished speaking, they must appoint unit commanders to lead the troops. When you approach a city to wage war against it, offer it terms of peace. If it accepts your terms and submits to you, all the people found in it will become your slaves. If it does not accept terms of peace but makes war with you, then you are to lay siege to it. The Lord your God will deliver it over to you, and you must kill every single male by the sword. However, the women, little children, cattle, and anything else in the city, all its plunder, you may take for yourselves as spoil. You may take from your enemies the plunder that the Lord your God has given you. This is how you are to deal with all those cities located far from you, those who do not belong to these nearby nations. As for the cities of these people that the Lord your God is going to give you as an inheritance, you must not allow a single living thing to survive. Instead, you must utterly annihilate them, the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, just as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that they cannot teach you all the abhorrent ways they worship their gods, causing you to sin against the Lord your God. If you besiege a city for a long time while attempting to capture it, you must not chop down its trees, for you may eat fruit from them and should not cut them down. A tree in the field is not human that you should besiege it. However, you may chop down any tree you know is not suitable for food, and you may use it to build siege works against the city that is making war with you until that city falls. Deuteronomy chapter 21. If a homicide victim should be found lying in a field in the land the Lord your God is giving you, and no one knows who killed him, your elders and judges must go out and measure how far it is to the cities in the vicinity of the corpse. Then the elders of the city nearest to the corpse must take from the herd a heifer that has not been worked, that has never pulled with a yoke, and bring the heifer down to a wadi with flowing water, to a valley that is neither plowed nor sown. There at the wadi they are to break the heifer's neck. Then the Levitical priests will approach, for the Lord your God has chosen them to serve him and to pronounce blessings in his name, and to decide every judicial verdict. And all the elders of that city nearest the corpse must wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley. Then they must proclaim, "Our hands have not spilled this blood, nor have we witnessed the crime. Do not blame your people Israel, whom you redeemed, O Lord, and do not hold them accountable for the bloodshed of an innocent person." Then atonement will be made for the bloodshed. In this manner you will purge out the guilt of innocent blood from among you, for you must do what is right before the Lord. When you go out to do battle with your enemies, and the Lord your God allows you to prevail and you take prisoners, if you should see among them an attractive woman whom you wish to take as a wife, you may bring her back to your house. She must shave her head, trim her nails, discard the clothing she was wearing when captured, and stay in your house, lamenting for her father and mother for a full month. After that, you may have sexual relations with her and become her husband, and she your wife. If you are not pleased with her, then you must let her go where she pleases. You cannot in any case sell her. You must not take advantage of her, since you have already humiliated her. Suppose a man has two wives, one whom he loves more than the other, and they both bear him sons, with the firstborn being the child of the less loved wife. In the day he divides his inheritance, he must not appoint as firstborn the son of the favorite wife, in place of the other wife's son who is actually the firstborn. Rather, he must acknowledge the son of the less loved wife as firstborn, and give him the double portion of all he has, for that son is the beginning of his father's procreative power. To him should go the right of the firstborn. If a person has a stubborn, rebellious son who pays no attention to his father or mother, and they discipline him to no avail, his father and mother must seize him and bring him to the elders of the gate of his city. They must declare to the elders of the city, "Our son is stubborn and rebellious and pays no attention to what we say. He is a glutton and drunkard." Then all the men of his city must stone him to death. In this way you will purge out wickedness from among you, and all Israel will hear about it and be afraid. If a person commits a sin punishable by death and is executed, and you hang the corpse on a tree, his body must not remain all night on the tree. Instead, you must make certain you bury him that same day, for the one who is left exposed on a tree is cursed by God. You must not defile your land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. Did you notice that as we read through these laws, we can see the beginnings of some of our justice system? Of course, we don't follow all the Levitical laws in our justice system here in the United States, but the foundations are there. But then, of course, you have the question, why do we follow some of these laws and not others? Well, of course, that's a different podcast. Tomorrow, we'll take on chapters 22 through 24. Until then, I'm Steve Webb. God bless you. This has been an In Touch Productions podcast.